Thank you for the privilege of being with you today as we look at Hebrews chapter 11 and examples of men of faith. What is faith? Up whom or what do we focus our faith? And do I have faith in the living God? You can find this study on abideinchrist.com, 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 and go to examples of men of faith under sermons and Bible studies. The faith in view in Hebrews chapter 11 is faith in Jesus Christ so as to receive eternal salvation or eternal life. There are some funny ideas about faith floating around in the media. Faith is not positive thinking. As we shall see in Hebrews 11, be very careful when you hear false teachers claiming promises of the land of Israel and applying them to Christian wealth and prosperity in our day. It's a false interpretation and application of the Old Testament. The specific promises to Abraham are not the promises to Christians, no matter how far you stretch the application. Faith begins with a sense of need. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God," in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. The sense of poverty is an utter spiritual destitution, helplessness. It is the absence of pride and self-assurance and self-reliance. There is a sense of utter nothingness and utter dependence upon God. Now, this is always where true biblical faith begins. The writer of Hebrews underscores this sense of need. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the Christian's true worldview. It is faith focused on Jesus Christ. And faith is the confident assurance which the believer has because God has promised conviction about unseen things. The key to understanding this whole chapter is the conviction that God would raise the dead. Resurrection faith underscores this chapter. The God who raised the dead is the one who makes promises and fulfills them. He, Abraham, considered God is able to raise men even from the dead, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19. Faith begins with things hoped for. It begins with a sense of need. Do you want it so badly you hunger and thirst for it? The Holy Spirit creates that sense of hunger and thirst within the heart. The greatest enemy is the attitude of self-satisfaction, content in my spiritual life. In whom do we place our faith? And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is rewarder of those who seek Him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Everyone is born with an inner sense that God does exist. I've always been amazed at how children, whom you would think would be incapable of getting hold of the concept of God's existence, and yet they have no difficulty believing that God exists. Where does this come from? Well, God created man and woman in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. People have to be educated not to believe in God's existence. What is our response to the operation of the Holy Spirit bringing us vital faith in Jesus Christ? In the example before us, the best way to grow in faith is to walk with the faithful. We see the example of faith of Abel. Cain and Abel wanted to worship the Lord God in Genesis chapter 4. They are pictured in Genesis 4 bringing their offering to the Lord God. Man is never satisfied without God's presence in his life. The account implies that they had prior information on how to approach God. However, Cain chose to believe a lie and he was rejected. I hear people saying, one way is just as good as another. We're all going to the same place. It doesn't matter what you believe, so long as you believe in something. I regret to inform you, but all roads do not lead to heaven, and some would take you to an eternal hell. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 says, "By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous." God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. And from the context of what Abel's offering superior to Cain was an offering of the firstlings of his flock and their fat portions. The record in Genesis reads, "Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. And so Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell." In Genesis chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. What was offered up to God was just as important as how it was offered. Abel's offering included fat portion, which in the eyes of that generation was the best portion of the animal. I'm convinced Abel's offering was a slain animal and was a bloody sacrifice. I think Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And the manner in which the author of Hebrews has developed his thesis up to this chapter leads to that conclusion. Genesis does not specify that Abel's offering was a bloody sacrifice. However, God slew animals and made coverings for Adam and Eve. And I think instructions were probably given by God regarding the substitutionary sacrifices at that time. Abel presented his offering by faith in response to revelation from God as to the offering he wanted. Genesis speaks of Abel's blood crying out to God for vengeance. In the book of Hebrews, it speaks to us of the importance of faith in God. Abel believed in God. The faith of Enoch is also brought out in this passage of Scripture. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. Compare this to Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, which speaks of Enoch. Enoch did not die. He was taken up into heaven. And the word taken up means to remove or transferred, to change places. He was moved from one place to another, from the earth to heaven. Enoch pleased God, and God took him up to heaven. Enoch walked with God by faith, and his example is still before us to this very day. The just or the righteous one shall live by faith is a theme both in the Old and the New Testament. God will reward the faithful just as he did Abel and Enoch. There's a direct relationship between their faith and their reward. Without faith, it would have been impossible for Enoch to please God. Another beautiful example in this chapter is the faith of Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared the ark for salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. The testimony of Noah is recorded for us in Genesis chapters 6 through 9. Noah received divine instruction regarding God's future plans. He continued to believe in the promises of God for at least 120 years. He had probably never seen a drop of rain, and definitely not a cataclysmic flood. He had never seen the super ocean-going cargo carrier, and everyone else was making fun of him. He had no experiences to base his faith upon. However, he trusted God and inherited a new world after the flood. In obedient faith, Noah survived the flood with his wife and sons. Noah's testimony condemns the world to this day. And Jesus used Noah's experience and testimony to declare a sudden coming day of judgment when he returns. To be an heir of his righteousness is to be the recipient of that righteousness which God imputes to those who trust him, and denotes also the fact that enjoyment of the full inheritance is yet to come. This passage speaks also of faith of Abraham. The writer of Hebrews held Abraham in such high esteem that he referred to him 10 times. Only Luke and John mention Abraham more. Even though we live as strangers and pilgrims in this world, we look forward to our inheritance in the New Jerusalem. It took faith for Abraham to leave Mesopotamia and as a foreigner look to the promised land. It was a step of faith when God asked him to sacrifice Isaac, and he looked for that city of God, which God would provide for him as an inheritance. Abraham accepted God's promises and acted on them. He took God at his word and walked by faith, seeing what the human eye could not see. The testimony of Abraham begins in Genesis chapter 12 and covers many chapters. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. Leon Morris notes the cultured man in the first century, the city was the highest form of civilized existence. The city denotes a permanent residence. And by faith, Abraham spent his whole lifetime in testimony seeking that city that God had prepared for him. It's a temporary residence here on the earth, but he's looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. God is the builder. And the city symbolizes heaven, the residence of God. Abraham did not have his gaze fixed on an earthly city with materialistic gain. He was looking for something far greater, and his not looking for an earthly city of Jerusalem, it makes you wonder why we have a lot of false teachers in our day putting the emphasis on Abraham's material wealth as their goal in teaching, rather than the higher importance of the emphasis of a spiritual vision in the presence of the living God. The spiritual wealth of Abraham has been completely left out by the modern teachers. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16 reads, "But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. And therefore God is not ashamed to be called their father, for he has prepared the city for them." Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. That city is heaven. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 says, "But you have come to Mount Zion, into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels." Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 13 reads, "For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. It is the heavenly Jerusalem, which is above, where God resides." And you can read about that New Jerusalem in Revelation chapter 21. This is the home of every true believer in Jesus Christ. Do we have our eyes focused upon Him and that heavenly city? Abraham's faith was focused not on an earthly city with its riches, but on the heavenly city. He had his eyes set on eternity. He was looking at that which is not earthly, but spiritual, which physical eyes cannot see. He got eternity into the picture, and earthly temporal values were of small consequence to Abraham. Well, the testimony of Sarah is also given in this great chapter. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. And therefore there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as he, the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. God's promise to Abraham and Sarah was beyond all human possibilities. Abraham was 99 years old when the birth of Isaac was first announced, and 100 when Isaac was born. Sarah was 90 years old. You can read about it in Genesis chapter 17. The God who can raise the dead can make a 90-year-old woman conceive naturally. The context of this chapter would include all these patriarchs who walked by faith. They all died believing God would fulfill His promises in time. Their lives are testimony of verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. And therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared the city for them. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. Did Abraham really believe God would raise Isaac from the dead when he was called upon to offer him as a sacrifice? Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 to 19 tells us, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it is said, "In Isaac your descendant shall be called." And he considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. How would he be able to reconcile the different revelations made to him? How could Isaac be the promised child if Abraham killed him? God has specifically said to Isaac, not Ishmael, was the fulfillment of the covenant with Abraham. The covenant was renewed with Isaac, not Ishmael. And the only answer is that Abraham continued to trust God to raise Isaac from the dead. And this is the only way he could fulfill the promise of the heir. When Abraham untied Isaac and lifted him off of the altar, it was as though he had risen from the dead. No doubt Isaac's recovery from the offering as a sacrifice was also a prefiguring of Abraham's ultimate seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his literal resurrection. God is faithful to his promises. Well, the faith of Isaac is also spoken of in this passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 20 through 22. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau even regarding things to come. By faith Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worship, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. Why, all of these men walked by faith, trusting God to do as he had promised. Everything depended on God's promise through Isaac. God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year." Genesis chapter 17, verses 19 through 21. And that covenant is renewed with Isaac and Jacob all the way through to the end of Genesis. All of the patriarchs suffered, but they remained faithful to the Lord God. Oh, William Tyndale said, "All that I do and suffer is but the way to the reward, and not deserving thereof. Christ is Lord over all, and whatsoever any man will have of God, he must have it freely given to him for Christ's sake. Now to have heaven for my own deserving is my own praise and not Christ. But I cannot have it by favor and grace in Christ, and by mine own merits also. For free giving and deserving cannot stand together." Leon Morris said that with all three of the significant promises given to Abraham and his servants, there's this firm conviction that death cannot frustrate God's purposes. As with Abraham and with Moses of old, the decisions we make today will determine the rewards of tomorrow. Warren Wiersbe said the emphasis in the Epistle of Hebrews is, don't live for what the world will promise you today. Live for what God has promised you in the future. There are some great abiding principles that come out of this passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, "And therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, and yet our inner man is being renewed day by day." How? It's being renewed by faith in Jesus Christ. "For a momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. And while we look not at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And that was the testimony of all of these great men in Hebrews chapter 11. Where is your focus today? Are you putting a faith and trust in Jesus Christ and faith and trust in Him as your own personal Savior, looking forward to greater rewards that are going to be ours in eternity? And just as God has provided a heavenly home, a city of God for the Old Testament saints, He has a grand provision for us too. Jesus said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, and if it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. What a great promise Jesus Christ is offering to every individual today. Everything has been prepared for you to enjoy that heavenly city. God has provided everything that you need in order to have a personal, intimate relationship with Him. Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. He went to the cross and died in your place on the cross to give you eternal life. He died in your place as your substitute and rose from the dead. And so therefore He offers you that eternal city, the place that He's preparing for you right now, this very moment. And all you have to do is repent of your unbelief and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. We have to continue believing in the great promises of God, knowing that He may have to raise us from the dead to fulfill them. That's what happened in the Old Testament. That may be true for each of us today too. And this is exactly where much of the popular preaching in our day misses the whole point. They emphasize what you can get today in a materialistic world and fail to put the emphasis upon the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They turn man into a god and the true Lord God into a vending machine. What we need in our day is a strong emphasis upon the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead. He offers eternal life, salvation, something far better than what this world can ever offer. Oh, my dear friend, why continue to live in spiritual poverty when God is offering you His very best? Jesus said, "Come, take up your cross and follow me." And Jesus calls us servants to give ourselves for Him. Isaac's restoration was a type of a parable, an illustration, that points to the fact that God will give us what He promised if we trust Him. When Abraham untied Isaac, it was like he had risen from the dead. And that type is a vivid picture of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus, that is to say, the perfect atoning sacrifice provided by the incarnate Son of God through His sacrifice of Himself in our stead, is the whole substance of our confidence. The only merit in which the Christian trusts is the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. What Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob looked for was a better country, a heavenly one. And God prepared for them a city. By faith they died looking for that city. My friend, are you looking for that city too? The Lord God has done everything in preparation for you to enter that city. What is your response to what God has provided for you? What is your response to His loving grace and tender mercy? The Apostle Paul longed for that city. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For we know the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25. The Lord God is offering you that hope right now in Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.